Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Let's go to Hosea chapter 4 and Isaiah chapter 5. Hosea chapter 4. Now, Hosea is right after the book of Daniel, in case you're not familiar with that. But let's go there first of all, Hosea chapter 4. You know, we began a series before all the stay-at-home, lockdown, all that came about. We were in a series on words, but I just felt, I don't know, as I was praying this week, I just felt, let's put that on the shelf for right now, and let's do that and finish that when everybody's with us. And so when you're all back with us, we'll get back to that and do that series as the Lord leads. But this morning, really have a strong word for you that the Lord gave me. And we're going to talk about a lack of knowledge. And how that's not a good thing, by the way. Let's go to Hosea chapter 4. And I want to read there, and then we'll read Isaiah in just a little bit. But you can go ahead and find that in Isaiah chapter 5 also. Hosea chapter 4 says, "My people," this is God's people, "are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Isn't that something? He didn't say my people are destroyed for a lack of programs. You know, but he said a lack of knowledge. You know, programs and churches are good, but we need more than just that. You know, church now, see, a lot of times people think church is just, you know, it's my social life. Well, church is your spiritual life. I mean, you can have a social life in church and thank God for it. You should have, amen. I mean, you should have friends at church and all. But that's not why God called us to have church, so we could have friends. We had friends for church. Amen. Are you with me now? I got better friends in church than I had outside of church. I'll tell you that right now. But that's not the reason for church. Church is for fellowshipping with God and feeding on His Word. Amen. Not just so I can get my social fix for the week and be good, you know, and then I can be a hermit the rest of the week. It kind of feels like that's the way we're living right now. You know, I'm tired of this already, by the way. Amen. And so we're just praying and believing that this passes. But he said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Now notice this. He said, "Because you have rejected knowledge." It wasn't that it wasn't available. It's that they rejected it. He said, "I will also reject you, that you'll be no priest to me, saying you've forgotten the law of your God, and I will also forget your children." But I want to center in on this, that God's people were destroyed for lack of knowledge. And he went on to say, "Because you have rejected knowledge." You know, knowledge is a good thing if it's the knowledge of God. But here's the thing, you know, here's one of the things that's happening in our world today, in our land. You know, I don't know about other countries, probably so, but here in America, a lot of the churches are being taught to reject knowledge. Really, you know, sheep sometimes don't know this, but those of us that are in the ministry, us pastors and preachers, of course, you know, we know a little bit more about what's going on than sometimes sheep do, because a lot of things that are taught about church growth aren't taught to the sheep, because if some of the sheep knew it, they'd quit going to that church if they knew what they really thought about growing a church, you know. But one of the principles that's being taught today is that if you want your church to be big and grow, you got to dumb down. You got to dumb down. What does that mean? Well, you know, there's different things. One thing, they say you got to calm down, which means, you know, no moving of the Holy Spirit, no gifts of the Spirit, no power of God, because, you know, people don't like that, you know, and I find that that's not true, by the way. But then they say you got to dumb down. This is one of the things they're teaching. You got to dumb down. In other words, you can't teach the Bible so much to people. Even they're telling some of the Christian writers today, so now don't put so much Bible verses in your books. And don't talk about Jesus so much. Can anybody hear the hiss of the devil in that? Oh, yeah. Yes. Boy, I sure do. Yes. Of course, he doesn't want us to put Bible verses in our books. Because why? It's his defeat. Right. And certainly, he doesn't want us to talk about the name of Jesus. Remember the early church when they got in trouble, you know, when they, you know, for preaching? And they came before the council and all, and they told them, they said, "Now, you know, don't preach anymore in this name." They didn't tell them not to preach. They said, "Don't preach in this name. If you want to preach, all you want to preach. Just don't preach in the name of Jesus." Why? Because it's the one that has power, and the devil knows that. Amen. So, you know, this thing about dumb down. Well, you know, here's what I know this. If you don't dumb down, you won't calm down. Because when you know what the Word says, you're going to be excited. Amen. Amen. And so he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So, you know, we don't want to fall for that. You know, the Bible prophesied that there would be a time that there would be a famine in the land for the word of God. And it's amazing to me that, you know, we have a lot of word, don't misunderstand me, but there, in some ways there's a famine going on. Amen. I mean, you go into churches today and people don't even bring their Bibles. Right. You know why they don't bring their Bibles? Because the preacher doesn't use the Bible.
That's right.
So they don't need a Bible. You know, what do I need to bring a Bible for? Pastor didn't bring a Bible. You know, and you know, whether that's your paper Bible, you know, like this. I like to carry this kind of thing around. You know why? This thing doesn't ding, ping, and talk to me. And I can write in this, you know, and all that. But, you know, you may have your Bible on your phone, your iPad, but you still got your Bible. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, as long as you come to Oasis Church, guess what? We're going to use our Bible.
Yes.
I'm glad that I can look out over Sunday morning when, you know, when we're having regular church and I see Bibles.
Yes.
And it's going to continue that way because we're going to continue to feed you the Word of God. We're not dumbing down, by the way.
Amen.
Because people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now, look at Isaiah chapter 5. Let's go there. And I want to read this verse to go along with this verse we just read. Isaiah chapter 5. All right, so my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Isaiah chapter 5 says this, therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Isaiah 5:13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished. Their multitude are dried up with thirst. Well, let's just talk about this. How many know if the Bible says you're destroyed for lack of knowledge, guess what you're destroyed for?
Lack of knowledge.
And it also says that my people go into captivity for lack because they have no knowledge. Right. Lack of knowledge. So if we cut out the knowledge of God, then we go into captivity and we are destroyed.
Yes.
I don't like either one of those.
No.
You know, knowledge will keep you alive. How many know that?
Yes.
You know, the right knowledge. We have to get from where it's just, you know, in our heart. You know, people, like, they got a lot, or in our head, excuse me, where it gets down in our heart. You know what I'm saying? You know, people have head knowledge, but we want heart knowledge. Now, what's heart knowledge? Heart knowledge means you'll just act on it. You know, have you ever had a revelation from God? You know what I'm talking about? I mean, when he revealed something to you out of those scriptures, you just knew it was his. I mean, it just stays with you. I mean, you get a revelation of the natural, it stays with you. You know, it's like I've told years ago, you know, when I was just a little kid, I stuck those two copper wires. Have you ever heard that story before? I stuck those two copper wires into the outlet, you know, at home. I was home and I had two copper wires. I stuck them into an electrical outlet, both of them. Guess what? I got a revelation. That's never left me. I don't do that any longer. I haven't done that since that day. Because, you know, I acquired some knowledge. Now, my mother had told me before I did that, she saw me playing around with those wires in by the outlet. She said, don't you stick those in there. And as soon as she left the room, I stuck them in there. Now, I had knowledge. I had head knowledge. She said, don't do that. I had head knowledge. I stuck them in there. I got heart knowledge, brother. I'm telling you, I learned something that day. Don't do that. And I haven't done it since. And something about when the Word of God comes alive to you, that it puts something inside of you, then I'm just telling you, it makes a rock out of you. Remember when Jesus said to Peter, he said, whom do men say that I am? And, you know, and they said, well, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, some another prophet. And Jesus said, well, who do you say that I am? Peter said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter, but my Father.
Mm-hmm.
See, what did he say? You didn't get this. This is not natural knowledge.
Amen.
This is spiritual knowledge. See, there's two types of knowledge. There's sense knowledge and there's revelation knowledge. Now, what's the difference? Well, you know, you got your five physical senses, you know. How many know? If you lose those, you know, you can lose one of those and they say the others kick in, you know, and they help out. But what would happen to a person if they lost all five of their physical senses? If they lost them all, they would have absolutely no contact with the outside world whatsoever. They could, if you can't hear, help me get these right. You can't hear, you can't see, you can't smell, you can't taste, you can't feel. You can't have contact with the world.
Right.
Well, see, this is the way a lot of Christians try to live their life. They try to live it without revelation knowledge of the Word of God, and they have no contact with God. They don't have any spiritual contact. There are people this morning, well, not this morning because we're not having church like regular, but on a regular Sunday morning, there are people all over our city that go to church that really don't know God. They've never had an encounter with Jesus Christ. You know, just because you go to church doesn't make you a Christian.
That's right.
Just 'cause, a lot of people think, because I'm born in America, of course I'm a Christian. See, that is just that's sense knowledge. That's just head knowledge. Heart knowledge, see, that's when your life changes because you met somebody.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I met Miss Phyllis, I don't know, 30-some years ago. I'd have to stop and think. But it's been quite a few years ago. You know, my life changed when we met. You know, I don't do the same things I used to do. I don't go the places. Not that I was going bad places. I was a Christian. But, you know, I mean, now we're hooked up together, you know.
Amen.
Amen. And so things change. Well, when you meet Jesus Christ and you get revelation knowledge, things change in your life. They don't stay the same.
Right.
And if you still talk the same, do the same thing, go to the same places, live the same way, you didn't meet him. I said, you didn't meet him. You may think you did because your church told you did, but you know, your pastor may not even be saved. Hate to tell you that, but it's just the truth. Well, how do you get saved? Is it really that hard? No, the Bible says if you believe in your heart. What's heart mean? Heart means, man, when you get something in your heart, it changes you. When you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. That's what the Bible said. Hallelujah. I was driving down the road many years ago, and these guys were on the radio. They were a Christian radio station, you know, one of our local stations here in town, Christian radio station. And this was a long time ago, and for cell phones, you know, so that's how long it goes. You know, it is even before, I think, pagers. Pagers was one of the dumbest ideas we ever came up with, by the way. You know, that little box you put on there, and it vibrated when somebody, zzz, zzz, then you had to go find a phone and call them and see if it was an emergency. Mm-hmm. And many times it's like, what time's the service start tonight? 7. It's been doing that for years. You know what I'm saying? So it would just, you know, but then we moved on to cell phones. Well, this was before that, and these guys were on the radio, and they were saying this. These were preachers, and they were saying, I'd give $1,000 to anybody that could tell me how to get into the body of Christ. Well, I thought, you know, I wish I had a phone, and I wish you were honest, because I can take your $1,000 today. Because if you're a pastor and a preacher and you don't know how to get in the body of Christ, you should go drive a truck. No offense, truck drivers. But you should do something else. Because the truth of the matter is, Paul told us how to get saved. He said, believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus, confess with your mouth, and you shall be saved. Now, what is heart belief? Well, heart belief is something different. Head belief, like I've said before. You know, if you'd asked me before I met Jesus Christ, you know, I've been with Jesus now for over 38 years. But if you'd asked me 40 years ago when I was doing drugs and everything else I was doing, if you'd asked me, is Jesus Christ the Son of God, I would have said yes. If you'd have said, is he the way to heaven, I would have said yes. See, all that's true, right? But that's acknowledging Jesus in a natural way, head way. But it wasn't until December 20th, 1981, that I knelt down at an altar at a church and totally surrendered my life to Jesus Christ and said, from now on, I'm living for you. From now on, I go where you say. I do what you do. I read your word. I feed on you. I'm in your house. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm helping your kingdom. I'm really committed to this. When I really committed my life, then that went from head knowledge, it got down to my heart, and it saved me. I got born again. I got anew. Amen on the inside. See, that's what happens when you get born again. See, I'm just saying this because a lot of people don't really know this morning. And a lot of people just think, well, because I go to the, you know, this church or that church, you know, and I'm a good person, maybe I'm a deacon there, or, you know, or I help usher or something like that, I'm saved. Well, you could be, but maybe you couldn't be. You need to check and see. Do you really have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Has it really changed your life? Is it really heart knowledge, revelation knowledge? See, revelation knowledge was what Peter got from the Holy Spirit when he said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. That was revelation knowledge. You know, a lot of people had head knowledge about Jesus. Well, you know, he's Jeremiah, you know, or he's John the Baptist, or he's one of the prophets, you know. I mean, obviously, you know, he's got something going on, you know. I mean, look what he does, you know, but we don't really know for sure which one he is. He's one of those. But Peter got revelation. No, you're the Christ. Hallelujah. And he said, it makes a rock out of you. Amen? So, you know, we're destroyed. We go into captivity because we have no knowledge. Remember what Jesus said? If you build a house on the sand, and you don't build it on my word, he said, the storms come and the house is shaken and the house falls and the ruin of that house is great. Now, it just dawned on me this morning, think about it. He said the ruin is great, so it wasn't like it was an obscure house. Uh-huh. You know, it's like some people think, well, you know, every church has, you know, got a large congregation, they must be blessed of God. Well, not necessarily. They might be. They might not be. You can get a good crowd. You know, all you got to do is serve free food.
Amen.
You know, we always have a better crowd. We used to, anyway, it worked this way. We always had our biggest crowd when we were going to have a picnic afterwards. You ever notice that? We'd see people, well, we haven't seen you in 4 months. Good to have you back. You back now? Oh, yeah, for today. They didn't actually say that, but that's what it amounted to. You know, why you come back? You know, for food, I'm thinking, why do you have to come to? I'm glad they came. Don't misunderstand me. I'm glad they came. Maybe they got something. But I'm just saying, food isn't that hard to get in the United States. You can just go to a restaurant. You don't have to get up early and come to church. So I'm just simply saying to you, see, a lot of times people think, well, you know, this church is big and it must be of God and they must be doing things right and so forth. Well, they may be, they may not be, but here's the thing. See, if we don't build, I don't care what church we are, if we don't build on the Word of God, the fall's coming.
Yes.
The captivity's coming.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of churches that we see today in America, no judgment, but I'm just saying, I think a lot of churches we see today in America that are great big churches that we think they must be wonderful and great, I think we're going to see the fall of them, and the fall of them is going to be great. You know what I'm saying? We had a storm come through last night. I pray everybody's okay. We checked on people, you know, in that area. Phyllis did, to text them and see if they're okay. So we believe everybody's all right. Well, we pray for those and that those that were affected by it, that the Lord helps them. But you know what? Nobody reported about a treehouse being blown down. It's not a big deal. But if somebody's house gets taken out, then you hear about that. See, what I'm saying to you is we think just because an edifice is big, a church is big, then it must be of God. But Jesus said the fall of it will be great. So he's not talking about some kind of small thing falling. He's talking about something big falling because it wasn't built on the Word. So we have to make sure that our lives, our churches, are built on the Word of God.
Yes,
amen. And there's a huge difference between these two kinds of knowledge, sense knowledge and revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge means it comes from God. How many know revelation knowledge from God? It's direct to you. I mean, he reveals something inside of your heart. Amen. You know. Sometimes things, and I do this sometimes, so I'm not criticizing anybody, but you hear a story, and then the more you tell it, the more it changes. You ever notice that? Fishermen are good at that. You know, I caught this fish, he's about that big, and then the next story, he's that big. Next thing, he's that big. Next thing, he's way out here. Next thing, he caught a whale. You know, so it changes. And a lot of times, you know, things do change because we just get misinformation. I mean, I've told stories before, and Phyllis will correct it, and the time she gets done, it wasn't anything like what I said. It wasn't a man, it wasn't a woman. It wasn't in Indiana, it was in Illinois. I wasn't lying, I just didn't have revelation. You understand? There's a big, huge difference. So we have to have revelation knowledge of the Word of God where God gets into our heart. Think about this. Remember when Peter got out of the boat to walk on the water? I mean, he didn't do that by natural knowledge. You don't get out of the boat to walk on the water by natural knowledge. There's no natural knowledge that says you can walk on the water. Matter of fact, there's not. You can't even Google it and find a video teaching you how to do it. There's no website for water walkers. Why? Because naturally it's impossible. But when Jesus said, come, remember that? How many of that was revelation knowledge? If Jesus said, come, that means you can do it. Amen? And he said to Peter, he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat, didn't he? Now, how many know he's walking, he's doing something supernatural here. And you have to understand, now we, you know, thank God for Peter. We respect him. He was an apostle of the Lamb. But he was just a man like everybody else. No different. I mean, he had his faults. He made mistakes. You know, I mean, you know, here Jesus, you know, I mean, how many know, one of the main characteristics about Jesus' life and ministry was love. He showed love. He showed mercy. He showed compassion. He didn't compromise. But he showed compassion.
Right.
He would say, "Go, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Hallelujah! Thank God for that.
Mm-hmm.
Aren't you glad he said that?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad he did? You know, aren't you glad the Bible says, you know, these things I write unto you, little children, that you sin not.
Mm-hmm.
But if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father.
Amen.
Aren't you glad John kind of like let us know that, you know, if we do miss it, we can still,
yeah.
You know, be in God's good favor. Amen. We can repent, you know. Well, you know, Peter, you know, I mean, he's one of Jesus' right-hand men, wouldn't you say? I mean, Peter, James, and John, they were the three tops. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he loved them all, but those were the ones that were closest to him. And I mean, you know, when Malchus, who was the servant of the high priest, when the high priest came to get Jesus to take him, you know, in Gethsemane, and his servant Malchus was with him, Peter cut his ear off. I mean, could think he probably needed a few more lessons on love.
Come on.
Hallelujah. You know, he is the guy that cursed and denied the Lord. Remember that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he had his mistakes, but yet he's got a revelation from Jesus, and the revelation is, come, walk on the water. You can do this. I'm doing it. You can do it. Peter gets out of the boat. How many know he's doing it, isn't he? Amen. Right? I don't know. He might have looked back at James and said, whoa, look at this. You don't know. You know, there was a rivalry between him and John. So he might have looked back at John and said, oh, look at this. Huh. I ain't seen you get out. I'm out here. And all of a sudden, you know, he looks and sees that wave coming at him. He goes, oh my gosh, you can't walk on the water when it's this bad out. I mean, he switched from revelation knowledge to sense knowledge. He said, when he saw, everybody say saw. When he saw the wind boisterous, when he saw the waves, he became afraid and began to sink. Well, what happened here? Well, he switched from revelation knowledge that he had to the sense knowledge that he saw. It's easy to do, but we got to walk by faith, folks. Remember, we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, with all this coronavirus and, you know, the COVID-19 and all that that's going around, you know, here's what America needs to do. Of course, we're doing our best. We're following our governor's guidelines, you know, for meeting together. We're not just defying that and, you know, having full-blown church. You know, we can still live stream. You know, that's one of the things. Thank God our governor considers church an essential, amen, business, amen, which it is. It's very essential. So he considers that. So, you know, his mandate was, yes, still do your live stream services. Just don't have your congregation there. Like, you can have the people there to help pull the thing off, of course. But, you know, all that's good. All that's right. And listen, we should follow and help the best we can. Amen. I just believe that. I mean, they're working hard trying to get a cure for this and all that. You know, they're trying to do that. Well, thank God for that. But here's the thing. You know who can really knock this thing out of the park if we just stick with it? Yes. The power of God. Yes. And I believe we've come to the place that we're about to realize that that's all it's going to take. Right. That's what it's going to take. Right. And America needs to call on God again.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Come on.
You know, like we did in 9/11?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We need to call on God and ask for His help. You say, well, people say, well, why did God allow this? Why did God do this? Well, listen, you got to remember something. You know, I'd love something that Billy Graham's daughter said during 9/11. After 9/11 happened, you know, they're having all these preachers on TV asking, why did God do this? Why did God print? Some say, well, God sent it, you know. Some say, well, God allowed it. All that's not true. God's not, you know, if God's after somebody, I mean, He knows their address. Right. He doesn't have to take out innocent people to do that. He doesn't do that. Are you with me now?
Amen.
Come on, Oasis Church people, say amen. You know this as well as I do. If God's after one person, He doesn't have to do a lot of collateral damage to get them.
That's right.
Amen.
He's out to bless people. Amen. So they asked Billy Graham's daughter, they said, why did God allow these planes to fly into these buildings at 9/11? She said, you have to remember something. We told Him to get out.
Come on now.
We told Him He's not welcome in our government, our schools.
Come on.
Our everyday life. We've taken something in the Constitution that was meant to protect churches to try to keep the church out.
Come on. Yeah, that's right.
Well, the separation of church and state just meant the state needed to stay out of the church's business.
Come on.
That's the way it really was written.
Yeah.
Amen.
Now, it's been twisted and missing. Well, there's legal minds, Pastor, that are much smarter than you. Yeah, they may be much smarter in some areas, but they can be dumb as a box of rocks in some other areas. Excuse me for saying that, but you know, you can interpret anything the way you want to interpret. Just go to Washington, D.C. for a vacation and look at all the scriptures on the buildings. They must have not been interpreted that way. Mm-hmm. Even the United Nations have scripture. They must not have been thinking that way in those days.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't go there with me on that because you're going to lose that argument. Amen. Because, listen, that's not what that's about. That's about keeping the state out of the church, telling us what kind of church we got to have, or establishing a state church and saying everybody in America has to worship this way. Now, you're free in America to worship the way you want, but that doesn't mean that the church can't be involved in the government.
Amen.
Or our schools. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is good preaching. Anyway, you know, you don't have to participate. It's up to you, of course. God doesn't force anybody.
Nope.
He wants you to love Him. You don't want to love Him. That's your business.
Right.
He wants you to serve Him. You don't want to serve Him. That's your business. He'll let you do whatever you want to do. It's not good for you, but He'll let you do what you want to do. Amen. So God didn't allow the coronavirus. God didn't send the coronavirus. But I tell you, He's the answer if we'll just call on Him.
Yeah.
If we get enough people in the nation praying and calling on Him. And, you know, and if we'll just turn to Him and ask Him for help, I think He could help us.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. He's helped before, right? Amen. There's many things he's... I mean, just go back in the Bible, some of the plagues that were in the Bible. I mean, this isn't the first time we've had plagues. Pandemics or whatever you want to call it. God's always there if we turn to him. And we need to turn to him right now. Amen. All right, now back to this. Peter switched from revelation knowledge to sense knowledge. He began to look and see things and begin to operate by what he saw. You know, God gave us our five physical senses. Listen now, because we do need them. Amen. They're pretty vital. I mean, you know, thank God for them. But he didn't give them to rule our lives spiritually. You know, like, you know, I grew up around some, spiritually speaking, I'm talking about, you know, when I first got saved, was around a lot of old-time Pentecost people, you know. And I thank God for that. I learned a lot about the moving of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. But there were some bad habits, like all of us have bad habits, you know, we got to get rid of. They had some bad habits, and they kind of had this thing, if they didn't know a whole lot about faith. And they basically went by, not all, this isn't a blanket, you know, shot at them, but basically they went by feelings. You know, if we feel God, he's here. If we don't feel God, he's not, you know. And they would have this feeling thing. Well, let me just say this. That's not the way. God didn't intend for us to use our feelings to judge whether God's moving or not. I can tell you, I've had times where I felt as carnal as could be, as natural, I guess I should say, as natural as I could be. You know what I'm saying? Like I just came in, you know, from, you know, playing football or something, you know, and just feel natural. But God moved mightily. I've had services, you know. Some services, when I preach, I feel the anointing. Sometimes I feel like I want to go home. I want to go to lunch. Hallelujah. Every preacher is honest will tell you that. Some services, whoo, glory to God. I can jump through a troop and leap over a wall. There's other services you think, I don't meet the troop or the wall, either one. Because I don't feel much. But it doesn't matter what you feel. You walk by faith. And I've had some of those services where I thought, man, this was dead. I'm glad this is over with. Let's go home. And I have people come up to me and say, you know, that changed my life. I'm thinking, what were you listening to? See, you can't judge by your feelings. You got to walk by faith. You just got to do what God said do and trust him for the results. Amen. So you know, we're going to spend some time talking about this, just lack of knowledge. We don't want to be a church or a people that lay our Bibles down. We don't want to be a church that doesn't feed on the Word of God. Amen. You don't want to be a Christian that doesn't feed on the Word of God. Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That means that's the way we live spiritually. And I'm going to show you some things. Maybe we'll get into them next week about what we need to do to walk in revelation knowledge and the things that we need. Let's go one last scripture. We get something today?
Amen.
Let's go to... Mark chapter 1, we're going to close right here. Mark chapter 1. And I just hope the Lord has stirred something in your heart that there's something deeper to this Christian walk than just the natural. Amen.
Amen.
You know, a lot of times people, well, Christianity needs to be more practical. I think it's been too practical, to be honest with you. I think we need to be spiritual. Now, if you get spiritual, guess what? If you get spiritual, it'll take care of the practical. You know what I'm saying? See, some people say, well, you can get too heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. No, you just got weird. That's what you got. You didn't get heavenly minded. You got weird. Heavenly minded means you think like God. God's not weird. I've met Christians that are weird. We've had Christians that come to our church that were weird. I'm not naming any names. But it happens, you know, people get weird. They think, you know, they try to get super spiritual and so forth. Hey, listen to me. God is just as practical as he is spiritual. He made the natural. He knows how it works. Amen. But I think what some Christians call, we just need to be practical, just means we need to throw out the knowledge of God. Amen. You know, just like during this virus thing. Listen, man, I'm trusting God. You can do what you want to, you know. We got the social distancing thing going on. I'm in agreement with that. I'm not in disagreement, but I'm certainly not trusting that to save me.
Right. Come on. Amen.
I don't have a tape measure around. I don't walk around. I went to Lowe's the other day. I didn't have a tape measure stuck out 6 feet, making sure everybody stayed 6 feet away. You can't control all that stuff. Are you kidding me? About the time you think you got it, somebody will sneak up behind you and give you a big hug and say, good to see you, brother, and cough right on you, you know. And if you're in fear, you're, oh my gosh, I've got it. See, that's walking by fear and not by faith. I got faith that my God's bigger than that. I got faith that His redemption is bigger than that.
Amen.
Now I may obey those rules and stuff, you know, and whatever. But I'm not trusting that. That's not going to end this. What's going to end this? Praise God! I believe is a bunch of us faith people just keeping our faith on the line to get this thing ended. Amen. Now, once again, that's not a knock against what our government's doing. I appreciate it. They're working hard. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but they're in a lot of stress, a lot of pressure. They're working hard. They're trying to get this thing resolved. They're doing the best they can, and there are things we need to do in the natural, and we're just believing that they'll find a vaccine. We're praying, you know, God help them find something. You know what I'm saying?
Amen.
Amen. But I don't put my faith in any of that. I mean, I'm praying for that, but I don't put my faith in that. I put my faith in God Almighty.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I mean, we've had plenty of people, and listen now, we've had plenty of people in our church that, listen, medical science couldn't help them, but God healed them.
Yes. Amen.
Matter of fact, it's been a few years ago, I asked when the congregation on a Sunday morning, when, you know, pretty much everybody was here, if they ever are on a Sunday morning, but anyway, you know, I'm pretty much here, pretty much, and I asked them, I said, now look, how many people have been healed in one of our services? I don't mean you've been healed by the Lord, I mean, you've been healed when you got in the prayer line in one of our services. I think almost every hand went up. See, that's what I'm putting my faith in God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And not, you know, once again, that's not a knock against the natural things. Do everything you need to do, you know, whatever, you know. But don't get in fear. Amen. Don't be afraid, you know. Oh, my gosh, you know, my neighbor's got it and I'm going to get it. Well, listen. You need to trust God more than that. Amen. Well, what if I do get it? Well, trust Him to heal you.
Yes.
Amen. Now, here in Mark chapter 1, let's go there. Thank God for the Word, everybody.
Yes.
So, Mark chapter 1, verse 22. This is about Jesus. It says, and they were astonished at His doctrine or His teaching. For He taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Well, why was this? I mean, see, the scribes knew the Word. How many know that?
Yeah.
They. I mean, come on, some of these people, like the scribes, the Pharisees and all, and even just people, some of the people in Israel, they knew the first five books of the Bible by heart. They knew that's a chore. They knew the first five books of the Bible by heart, but yet they didn't know the Savior when He came. They didn't get that. It was all natural head knowledge. It wasn't revelation knowledge. But when Jesus shows up, He's got something. He's got a knowledge that's different than what they've been hearing from their religious leaders. He actually has a relationship with God. Hallelujah. He actually has some knowledge that's deeper than just head knowledge. He has heart knowledge. Now, you know, there's a lot of people that are in the ministry that don't have that. I went and preached for this place years ago. I'll leave it unnamed, but I went and preached for this place years ago, and it helped down and out people. You know that they would come there and they would get help, and they would get maybe a place to stay or something to eat. You know, homeless people, different people are down and out. So you know, I don't remember how it came about now, but somebody asked me, would you come down here and preach? And so I went down there and preached, you know. And so when I got done preaching, and I just preached like I preached to, you know, I didn't put on a religious voice, you know, God. You know, I just used my shofar and everything else, you know. I mean, I just talk like an ordinary person, you know what I'm saying. I mean, I didn't get real religious, you know. I just preached the Word to them, you know. You know, somebody said, well, you know, I got to be careful, you know, you don't want to choke them. You know, listen, man, they're already in trouble. I don't think I'm going to choke him with the Word. So I just preached to him. I remember when I got done, this guy came up to me and he said, you know, he said he was a homeless guy and he said he lived in the abandoned buildings in the city, you know, and houses, that's where he would stay. And I remember what he said. It blessed me. He used a bad word. I won't say that, by the way. But he looked at me and said, you know what? You really got your blank together. Now, I'm just saying what he said. He said, some of these preachers come down here. But he said, you got your blank together. What did he mean? Here's what he meant. For He taught them as one that had authority. In other words, I came up, and not just, I'm not bragging on me. I hope you understand, because there's a lot of preachers in our city the same way. But I came out, and I preached Revelation 9. Like, I didn't say God might do it. Maybe. We never know. You just never know. God might be working that out for your good. I don't know. Maybe. Oh, I went there and told him what the Word says. This is what it says. You believe it, it'll happen in your life. You don't, it won't. This is the way it is. They hadn't heard that. Well, I'm not saying they hadn't heard that, but this guy obviously hadn't heard that. And when he heard it, it's like, yeah, I get it. You got your blank together. Well, amen. Well, it's not that I have my blank together. It's just the fact that when you preach the Word, it does something. The Word changes people's lives. Amen. You can't just, you know, well, you can't, you know, like a lot of churches are just so filled with motivational talks on Sunday morning or just talk about social issues all the time. Let me tell you something. If you preach the unadulterated Word of God, it'll take care of all the social issues.
Amen.
It'll motivate you like you've never been motivated. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and it's not that some of these things may not at times need to be talked to, but if you preach the Word, it'll clean all that out. Here's what I learned a long time. Pastoring is a lot easier if you just preach the Word. Because it grows people up. It purges them, purifies them. Amen? Closing story. We had a lady, she might be in another state, or she might have gone to heaven, maybe. Somebody might have told me. I haven't heard from her in years. But we had a lady come to our church years ago. And she got born again, and she came out of kind of a wild lifestyle. But I just remember one, you know, she got excited, turned on for God. But I remember one particular service. We had our Sunday morning service, and I think we must have had a special service Sunday night because we came back for Sunday night service. Which, you know, we don't have Sunday night service, but we might have had a guest speaker in or something. I can't remember. But I just remember before the Sunday night service, I was up on the front row, me and another person, and she came up to us. She said, you know what? She said, I read the book of Luke today. I don't know if she read the whole book, but she said, I read the book of Luke between services, and she says, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. She was seeing things out of the Word, and it was changing her life. She was seeing things that was adjusting her. Amen. See, the true Word of God will adjust your lifestyle.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Once you get a hold of it, it'll change your lifestyle. You won't live the way you used to live. Why? The Word adjusts you. So I've just learned as a pastor, look, you can cut your troubles down a lot if you'll just preach the Word to people, because then they'll start living it. It'll start setting them free. Amen. So listen, we don't need a lack of knowledge. We don't just need head knowledge either. We need heart knowledge. Revelation of the Word of the living God. Can you say amen?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.